Going to be learning Lakutei Sichas Chelek Chaf, the second Sicha for Parshas Lech Lecha. It's a very fascinating Sicha, and it's going to be discussing the inyan of Torah Lishma, and also Torah Shloi Lishma, and Alpi Nigla, and somewhat also Alpi Chassidus. So it'll be a very interesting Sicha. So the Sicha starts off with a question on this week's Parsha. It says in this week's Parsha, Perek Tezba, Pasuk Aleph, Al Tira Avram, Anechi Bogen Lecha, Socharcha Harbim Ayid. Hashem tells Avram, after he defeats the kings, the four kings, do not be afraid, your schar, I am your shield, your schar will be very great. So Rashi explains, as the Mefarshi Rashi explained what he's coming to answer, that Avram was scared of two things. First of all, he was worried that maybe he killed someone that was a Yir Shamayim and he's going to get punished for it. And second of all, he was worried that since he killed these kings, maybe that was the schar, this nest that he was able to defeat these armies, that was the schar for his avodah that he's done, and he's not going to get anything else. So therefore, Hashem answers back, Anochi Magen Lecha, I am your shield, that you do not need to be worried about any punishment for killing anybody that might have been innocent. I am your shield, I protect you from any punishment. And regarding your worry that you do not have any schar left, no, on the contrary, Scharche Harbim Oed, your schar is very great. So, L'chaira, what's not understood is, Avram Avinu, we know, served Hashem L'shma. Avodah L'shma, he wasn't serving Hashem in order to get a schar. In fact, the Rambam, when he categorizes the idea of Avodah L'shma, or as he calls it, an Oivin Ma'ahava, he gives Avram Avinu as his example. And he explains that someone who's Oisik B'Torah Mitzvahs, not rather, who is someone who is Oivin Ma'ava, who is someone who serves Hashem L'shma, this is, he Oisa Emes Neshu Anas. He serves Hashem because he knows this is the Emes. He's not doing it for any ulterior motives. He serves Hashem because this is truth. And he says, and that was the Ma'il of Avram Avinu, that he only served Hashem out of Ava. So the Shaila is, since we know that Avram only served Hashem out of Ava, why was he worried that he didn't have he won't get any schar, and Hashem needed to promise him, do not be worried, schar chahar b'moed. It seems very strange. So the Rebbe is going to give two answers. So the first answer the Rebbe gives is like this, that Avram Avinu, Eino Chinami, wasn't worried about the schar for itself. Rather, the schar was more of a simon to him, that how do you know, how will Avram know that he's done his avodah properly? He knows that his avodah is done properly if there is a schar. So the schar is really more just a simon. It's similar, maybe give an example, like a relationship, that you might be doing something for someone you love. It's not because you need them to give you some type of reward because you did them this favor, that you showed them this love. No, the vart is you want them just to be happy. But how are you going to know if they're going to be happy? You know they're happy if they give you a smile, they say a thank you. It's not that you need the thank you, it's just that that's how you know that what you're doing is the right thing, that your avodah is being appreciated. So maybe that's what was bothering Avram. He didn't know if there would be no schar, then how would he know that his avodah was something that Hashem appreciated? And he says, this would actually fit very well in the Lashon of the Rambam. It would be Yumtik Lashon of the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes, he's Oisa Emes, Mipneshu Emes, V'soif HaTayva Lava Beglala. He does it because it's true, but the good will come, at the end the good will come also, will come because of it. So l'chayr, that last part, the soif ha'tayv lav v'glala, why is he adding? That's not really the purpose of this parak, that a person gets schar. The whole purpose, what he's trying to explain in this halacha, is that someone who's oivin Hashem l'shma, that he's not serving Hashem in order to get a schar. So why does he have to tell you that, don't worry, he's still going to get a schar? That doesn't seem like to be what this person's worried about. And especially the deek of the lashon, that it comes because of it. The soif ha'tayv lav v'glala, that it's because of what he's doing, he's going to get the schar. Why is, what's that deek? So according to what we just said, it would actually fit. What's the Rambam saying? The Rambam saying is this person is just doing the emes neshu emes, and the soif, the teiva, will come beglala because of what he's doing, he's going to get it good. So, meaning, how does he know that what he's doing is the right way? Is he's serving Hashem properly? That when teiva comes because of it, beglala comes because of it, then this person is assured that he has been serving Hashem properly. And who adin by Avraham? That only once, Seipa Taiva Lavei Beglali, that's when Avram would know that he's serving Hashem properly, and that's why he was worried that there would be no schar, because then he would not know if Hashem is happy with his reward or not. So that is the first answer. So before we get to why the Rebbe doesn't like it, just the question that I had, which was somewhat, I didn't understand so well. We're saying that the reason why Avraham was worried that he didn't have any, that he wouldn't get schar, is because he won't know if Hashem is happy with the vayda. L'chaira, wouldn't this itself, that Hashem saved him, and then he's worried that maybe kabalti schar, isn't this ness itself that Hashem saved him from the kings? So that is a schar. So Avraham knows that Hashem is happy with him, and he was happy with his avaida. He doesn't have to wait till he passes away or many years later when he'll get a schar. He got the schar right now. So now he knows that Hashem is happy with his avaida. So what is Avraham worried about? So that seems like a klotz kasha. So l'chaira, maybe you can answer, and this is really based on R4 of the Rebbe. The Rebbe is v'daik in the Lashon of the Rambam. He says that he's not serving Hashem, but not in order to inherit good. So the Rebbe asks, what is this expression that he's not serving Hashem in order to inherit good? It doesn't seem like the correct expression. It should have said that he's not serving Hashem in order to be mekabel schar. Mekabel schar. What do you mean to inherit? Inherit. You don't inherit schar. You're doing something good. You don't inherit a schar. You receive the schar. So the Rebbe wants to say the reason why the Rambam uses Lashon of Lirash, because we're talking about Avraham Avinu. And what was Avraham Avinu's schar? Avraham Avinu's schar was the kiyum of the promise, l'zar'acha etenes arts, that your children will inherit this land. So the reason why the Rambam is using this Lashon Lirash Tevis to say that, that's not why Avraham Avinu was serving Hashem. He wasn't serving Hashem in order for his children to inherit the land, but rather he's doing it b'nei emes. And he says this is also the expression hatayva. Why does he use the expression lirash taiva, not lirash schar? Because he wants to say that this expression of taiva is koil the idea of basuras zera, that he's going to have children. And he says also l'hayr that since we're talking about that over here, we're talking about not just the good of olam haza, we're also talking about the seif mat and schar shal mitzvahs, which is of course olam haba. So it's not just yerushas ha'eretz begashmis, but also yerushas of the arts ha'chaim, which is chay olam haba. So the Rebbe is basically saying the reason why the Rambam uses lashon lirash taiva is to say that it's a schar which is relevant to Avram, which was the kiyum of the yud that he will inherit Eretz Yisrael and he'll have children. So ula yesh lemer, this is also what the Avram was worried about, saying if I accept that I get, receive my schar because or receive some of the schar because through this that I was this miracle was done for me that I killed the malachim, then the ikar hayud, the ikar promise of Avram Avinu was the idea of yushas arts and children that he might not receive. So what is really the test to Avram that Hashem is happy with his avaida? The real test to Avram, the simon that Hashem is happy, is Yerusha Sa'art and having children. This other thing is not really the test. So he's worried that if you give me the schar for this, for the kings, then I don't really know, and I don't receive Eretz Yisrael and the Zera and the children, then I'm not 100% sure that you were happy with my avaida. Is the vart that I received all, you know, saving me from the kings was instead of it, then it's, you know, just as good? Or is the vart that I never really had enough to receive Eretz Yisrael and to have the children, and therefore I got this schar, but I never actually made you completely happy, and therefore I never received the ultimate schar of Yerushas Arts. Okay, so maybe that's the vart. So either way, just to recap, the question was, why by Avraham Avinu was he worried about schar? That doesn't seem to be Avram Zinyan. He serves Hashem l'shma. So the answer is, it was just a simon. He wasn't worried about the schar. He just wanted to have the simon. So the Rebbe Rav says, though, that this answer is a deicha gadol. Because if the vort was that he was wanted to know if he's serving Hashem b'shlemus, it seems that is ikar chasim in a sefer. Should have said, Avram, don't be afraid, because your avodah is b'shlemus. Why does he have to say, don't worry, your schar will be very great, and therefore by having a great schar, then you'll know that your avodah is b'shlemus? He should have said to Avram, don't worry, your avodah is b'shlemus, and I'm happy with what you're doing. That seems to be a much more direct way of Hashem answering you if that was the issue. Alamai, hadra kush l'duchta, we have to get back to this question. Okay, so the Rebbe is going to get back to Avram all the way to the end of the Sicha, but at this point, we're going to get into a different topic about learning Torah Lishma, and then we'll get back to Avraham Avinu. So the Rebbe brings a Zohar on this week's Parsha, on the word Sechar Harbimayit. So it tells us in the Zohar that someone who is Oysu B'Torah, he gets long life, and he gets Oysu V'Chavit. So the story is that Rabbi Abba made an announcement that whoever wants long life, and he wants a Shiris, should come learn Torah. So there was this Bacher, this Rav Chad, this Bacher, his name is Rabbi Yosei, that came and he says, I want to Harvin Torah in order that I'll have richness. So Abba agreed. And then he asked him his name, and he told him, my name is Yosei, and then he told all of his Talmidim, you should call this individual Rabbi Yosei, who is the master of richness and covet. A certain amount of time passes by, And the Rabbi Yose comes to Rabbi Abba and says, where's the Ashiris? So Rabbi Abba says, you're asking for Ashiris. Ah, now I see that you weren't asking L'shem Shemayim. Therefore, he wanted to daven that this Talmud should die because he was being Oisik Beter Shalei Shema. But then he heard a Baskel say, don't punish the student because he's going to be a Gavra Rabba. Then Abba says, I will give you your Ashiris. And the Zohar tells us, continues, that a rich individual came to Rabbi Abba and said that he wasn't Zoicha to learn Torah, and he wanted to kind of make a Yisachar Zvulun deal, that he will support someone, he'll make someone rich, so he'll get his Tzchus of Lima Torah. So he brought Rabbi Yose, and he made the deal with Rabbi Yose. And this rich person gave him a Kisei Depaz, a golden cup. And so then Rabbi Yose went to learn Torah, and this person made him very rich. Sometime later, eventually Rabbi Yossi recognized the glory and the covet of the Torah, and he was very sad, and he cried that he switched his chus Torah for Ashiris. So when Rabba heard and saw that he was so distressed, he says, now hash the Shemami know that he's taka learning the Shem Shemayim. Then he called that person and tells him, here's, take back your Ashiris and give it to Yosayimim and to poor people. And then Rabbi Yossi gave him back the cup of gold. But they continue to call him by the name Rabbi Yosef ben Pazi. And he also tells this rich man, Rabbi told this man, I will give you an extra portion in the Torah. So basically, Rabbi Yosef is back. He tells him to give the money in the future to poor people, and he tells him, I will give you a portion in the Torah. And regarding Rabbi Yosef, he returns the cup to him, but nonetheless, he's still called Rabbi Yosef ben Pazi. So this is the story. So in short, what happened is, again, Rabbi Abba tells and makes this announcement, whoever wants to be rich, come to me. Rabbi Yossi comes, and he says that he wants to be rich. And then when Papel comes and asks Rabbi Abba for the richness, Rabbi Abba was shocked that he came Shloi L'Shem Shema. Even though he said it clearly, he said, I'm coming to become rich. Rabbi Abba agreed and even called him that. He told all the students to call him Rabbi Yossi, the master of Oysher V'Kavit. But nonetheless, when he came, he was shocked, and he wanted to daven that he should die. But the Baal Shem Tov came from Mishmaim and says, do not kill him, he's going to be a Gavra Rabba. And so then Rabbi Abba continued to learn with him, and eventually a deal was made with this rich person, that Yisachar Zvulun deal. And ultimately, Rabbi Yossi regretted it. He returned the cup of gold, but nonetheless, his name continued to be Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi. So in the story, there's many questions. First of all, the biggest question is, Rabbi Abba announced whoever learns Torah will become rich. And Rabbi Yossi literally came l'chatchila with that intention and tells him, this is why I'm coming. So why is he so shocked? And it was so much, he wanted to be punishing him with death. He was shocked, and he wanted the daven that he should have an einish of Nisa. What's going on over there? Second of all, how was he able to, you know, before we get to just the Ara, or 12, that you can't answer that maybe Rav Abba, this whole idea of La'ilam Yasek Adam Eter Shalei Lishma, maybe that was only learned at this point of time. That maybe you're going to say that even though we usually have this idea of La'ilam Yasek Adam Eter Shalei Lishma, because Eter Shalei Lishma, Ba Lishma, so what's Rav Abba's issue? So he's learning Shalei Lishma, but that's fine, because eventually we'll become Lishma. So you can't say that maybe this idea was only learned at this point of time by Rav Abba, and therefore he thought he's deserving of Misa. That's impossible to say because, of course, Rabbi Abba himself was the one that made the hachraza that whoever wants to become rich should come and learn Torah for Ashira. So it seems very hard that he didn't know about that. Fine. So the next question is that L'chaira, once you make a deal, that a Yisachar Zvulun deal, you can't back out of it. You can't say that once you've already learned that you've changed your mind and you want to back out of the deal. Once the deal is made, it's impossible to be able to nullify that deal l'mafreya. Just like any other business deal, you can't change it and mevatel a deal l'mafreya. The deal was made, it's too late. And he says, especially so with Torah, because by Torah, you're not actually getting the schus that a person gets when he pays a Talmud Chacham to learn Torah. The schus he's getting is because he's enabling this Talmud Chacham to learn Torah. So by enabling him to learn, therefore he's able to be mishtatif in the schus. Therefore, the halacha would be that if a person learns Torah, and then years later, someone comes to him and says, oh, that all that Torah that you learned for the past 10, 15 years, I'll give you $50 million to split it with you. The halacha is that he's unable to sell it because yikar himatimim, Torah is more valuable than any type of money, therefore cannot be sold. The only thing that you're able to do is that before the person begins to learn, then you're able to make the deal because that enables them to learn. So therefore you're able to split the schus because you are mishtatif in that schus. So over here, he already gave Rabbi Yossi the money. And then Rabbi Yossi learned. So it's too late for Rabbi Yossi to change it afterwards. The schus that he had, Rabbi Yossi doesn't have any rights in this schus of Torah that he could sell it or not sell it. The only thing that he was able to do is he was able to allow this person to be mishtatif to give him the capability to learn. And that he already did. So he can't change it afterwards. Even the rich person couldn't change it afterwards because you can't sell a schus. Can't even say that maybe, you know, the rich person agreed to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Abba said, maybe you can mevatel this deal. Even the rich person wouldn't be able to mevatel because you can't sell Torah. So therefore, whatever, he was mishtatev in the schus, therefore the schus is his. So how could he try to mevatel this deal? It wouldn't work anyway. That's question number two. The third question is, why did they continue calling him Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi? L'chayr, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi really is a shame of gnus, that he originally was learning Torah for the sake of gold. Paz means gold. L'chayr, this is something which is derogatory, and that's not how we usually work. He says, even though, l'chayr, you can answer that maybe he was called ben Pazi because he returned the gold. So he's called Yossi ben Pazi. Yossi, I returned the gold. It's hard to say that because the idea of ben Pazi means my gold. So that shows on his connection that it was his gold, my gold. That is showing that, on the contrary, that it wasn't nullified, the deal, or he returned it. It's more stressing the idea at the point of time when it was his gold. So Abazoi, why were they calling him Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi? He says, even especially according to the Pirush called Surah Mar, that when did they start calling him Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi? It wasn't at the end of the story after he returned it. But on the contrary, they called him Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi as soon as he took the golden cup. They called him Shimon ben Pazi, and they never stopped calling him Shimon ben Pazi. So Abazoi, especially after he already returned it, why would they continue calling him by that name? L'chayr, it's a name of Gnos. The fourth question is it more of a diak? So Rabbi Abba wanted to punish him, wanted the daven that he should die. The Baskel comes out and says, do not punish him because he's going to be a great person. He's going to be a gavur rabba. L'chayr mamanachach. If learning shalei lishma is asr, and therefore there should be a punishment, then who cares what's going to be in the future? Right now, he's deserving of a punishment. You can't say, don't punish him, because in the future, he will do something good. Right now, he's deserving of punishment, so he should be punished. And if we're saying that he wasn't mechuyev of any type of punishment, then of course you don't need to have the excuse that he was a gavur rabba. What's the difference? If he's either deserving of punishment, then he should get punished. Especially for the idea of continuing to learn with Antira. So we have the idea that he's not going to get punished, but then there's also the idea that since he told him he's a gaver, he's going to be a gaver rab, but he continued to learn with Antira. L'chaira, as Har 16, the Rebbe points out, there is this Maimar Chazal B'Moshe, it says, V'yifin koi v'koi, that before he killed the Mitzri, he looked in both directions to see if there's going to be any tzaddikin coming out from this Mitzri. And L'chaira, if he would have found the tzaddik, he wouldn't have killed it, even though the Mitzri was Chayiv Misa. So it's fine, maybe that's true also over here. The reason why he didn't kill Rabbi Yossi, because, you know, maybe, because he will be a Gavra Rabba, so he didn't want to punish him with death. But nonetheless, even if you want to give that answer, but that only explains why he didn't daven that he should die, but doesn't explain why he continued to learn with him. If we're assuming that learning, in order to become usher is rich, become an usher is usher, and it's such a bad isser that you're actually chayiv misa, that even if, for whatever reason, he wouldn't be chayiv misa because there's going to be a gavur rabba that'll come out from him, or he himself will be a gavur rabba, but still does not explain why Rabbi Abba continued to learn with him. As we know, there's a lacha, you're not allowed to learn with the Talmud Sheini Halkan, so he shouldn't be able to continue learning with him. And the fifth question is, why does the Zohar tell us that Rabbi Yossi came when he was a bachar, when he was a rabbik? Why is that relevant? So let's just summarize the five questions we had on the story. Question number one is, what happened to Rabbi Abba? He makes an announcement, whoever wants to come learn for Ashiris is okay. And we have this rule, La'ilam, Yasek Adam Matar Mitzvah, Afi Shalei Lishma, Shvatei Shalei Lishma, Ba Lishma. So you already always have this rule that you're allowed to learn Shalei Lishma. And he himself announced it. So why all of a sudden is he so shocked with Rabbi Yossi and he says he should really be Chayiv Misa? Second of all, how could they cancel the deal? by giving back the gold, how could that cancel the deal? But by Torah study, you're not able to cancel any deals with Torah study. Third question is, why did they continue calling him Yosef ben Pazi? That's a shame of Gnus. Fourth question is, that how is this idea that he's going to be a Gavra Rabba save him for punishment, all kill upon him, if he, even if he's going to be a Gavra Rabba, and therefore he wouldn't be chayv this punishment of death right away, then why would Rabbi Abba continue learning with him? L'chayr continue to learn with him would be Aser. And the last question is, why was it relevant that he was a rabbi? Okay. Sif Vav. So the Rebbe is going to give a very interesting answer. So I'll say the answer in quickly, and then we're going to go to much more in depth based on Ha'aretz 18 and 19. So the answer that the Rebbe gives is that we have this idea of a person supposed to be Isaac and Torah Mitzvah Shloi Lashma, even if it's Shloi Lashma. So what's the reasoning for that? So L'chaira, we can have two ways of learning it. One reasoning is, the reason why you should be Isaac even Shloi Lashma, because ultimately the Maisa is the main thing. To actually do Maisa Ha'ikar, the main thing is the Maisa, the main thing is to learn, the main thing is to do the Mitzvah. So even if it's Shloi Lashma, but nonetheless, the main thing is that you're learning Lashma. Second way of saying it is, no, it's not just the Vart that the main thing is the Maisa. That wouldn't be enough. If you're going to be putting on tefillin, but you're doing it because you want to make money or because you want to show off or whatever the reasoning is, that wouldn't be enough of a reason to put on tefillin. If you're not doing it for the sake of serving Hashem, then the Maisa wouldn't be enough. Rather, the only reason you're allowed to put on the tefillin, even though it's shalei l'shma, because we know eventually it will become l'shma. Because matei shalei l'shma ba l'shma. Meaning is that even though right now you're putting it on taka shalei l'shma, but since this is, we'll call it, in haskalah, it's the beginning. So by beginning in this particular way, eventually you're going to come to do it l'shma. There we'll add more layers of depth later on, the idea of matei shalei l'shma. But for right now, the idea is that in achinami right now you're not doing it the proper way. But we don't tell you, don't do it at all. Because if you don't do it at all, then you'll never improve. So rather we tell you, you know what, start in this particular way, even though it's Shalei L'Shma. And because eventually you will come to do it in the proper way. So it's Haskalah, it's the beginning of how to do these mitzvahs. So L'Chayr, this is how we are learning it. So maybe we can say like this. What was the, at least to answer the first question, what was Reb Abba's intention when he says, when he speaks about coming for, to become an usher, come learn and be an usher? He was understanding as the first step. Yes, come, and you'll learn Shalei L'Shma, and you'll learn to become an Asher, but eventually you're going to be learning L'Shma, which is for the sake of Shammai. But when Reb Yosei came to him and demanded the gold, he recognized, wait a second, he's coming to demand it of me. This person is not shach that he'll eventually come to L'Shma. A regular person, you tell them they're going to get rich. As time will go on, they will grow up and they'll start learning Torah for the right reason. But after this period of time went on and he hasn't changed his personality, hasn't changed his intentions, Reb Abba suspected that this person will never change and he'll always just be doing it for Ashiras, and therefore he's not really ever going to be learning Torah properly. So yes, he's learning Torah, but he's not learning as a first step. This is the final step for him. And you're only allowed to learn Torah Shloi L'Shma because eventually that will lead you to learn the Torah properly and do the mitzvahs properly. That's why Reb Abba, that was Reb Abba's problem with Reb Yosei. And this also explains maybe the answer that the Baskel came out and said he's going to be a Gavra Rabba, that you're assuming that he's always going to be Shloi L'Shma. No, eventually he'll be a Gavra Rabba, so it will come L'Shma. But the Rebbe has a problem with this explanation, because ultimately, even if you're going to say that it's never going to come L'Shma, but why would he be Chayav Misa? You're allowed to learn Torah Shloi L'Shma. Why? Because eventually it will become L'Shma. So you are allowed to learn it Shalei L'Shma, and does it have any value? Yes, because eventually it will become L'Shma. But even if it's never going to become L'Shma, it's very hard to say that this person is going to be Chayav Misa. The Torah permits you to learn Torah in this way, and just because Reb Abba recognized that this person will never come to learn L'Shma, therefore he's going to be Chayav Misa, where do we find such a thing? That if you're learning Torah Shalei L'Shma, and we know that the Shalei L'Shma will never become the Shema, then that will be a reason for a Chi of Einish of Misa L'Chayr. That's very hard to say. We don't find that anywhere. And especially, to make the question harder, is that since you are allowed to learn Shalei L'Shma, true, maybe it's because usually you'll come to L'Shma, but L'Chayr, this Etzim Inyan of learning Shalei L'Shma is something which is not a Chi of Misa. So all of a sudden, just because this person's learning Shalei L'Shma and he won't become to be learning Lishma, that means he's going to be Chayav Misa. That seems very far-fetched. Again, A, what would be the source of that? And B, it seems counterintuitive since, in general, people can learn Shalei Lishma. So before we get to the explanation, I'll do some R's with you. R 18 and 19, we'll do it outside. And this will give us a much greater depth of this first answer of the Rebbe. So there's a machloikis, the Rambam, and the Rosh. This is how the Alter Rebbe explains it in Kuntros Achron in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Daled, Sif Gimel. That generally we know that a person is allowed to do Torah, mitzvahs, b'tayish, lei lishma, b'al lishma. Over there, the Rebbe has a discussion. What happens if a person's loimid, but he's not fulfilled what he's learning? So he's learning Torah, but he's not mekayim what he learns. So he brings the first opinion, which is the Rosh, that a person who learns is not mekayim. This person is called the Rasha. And we tell him, ma lecho lesaper chukai. He's not allowed to learn the Torah. And Hashem says, why are you learning my Torah? He's a Rasha. It's better that he never was created. And so it's just, we see this idea of that it's better that he was never created, and such individuals is definitely considered a Rasha, and therefore he's not allowed to learn. And he explains even there even more, because ultimately when the person's learning Torah, it's making things worse for him. If he never learned Torah, then when he doesn't do the mitzvahs, at least he's just a shagig. But now you're learning the Torah, you understand exactly what Hashem wants, you know the value of it, and nonetheless you're not doing the mitzvahs, that's much, much greater zilzal and disrespect, and it makes it amazing. You're basically making it amazing. So by you learning the Torah is actually causing you to be machshel in a greater levels of Isser, therefore it's also for this individual to learn. Then he brings a Yeshayim, which he says is the Rambam, that even in such a scenario, you are allowed to learn. You are allowed to learn, because b'teich shalei l'shma ba l'shma, that even when you're learning shalei manas and you're not being mekayim, eventually you will be mekayim, because the ma'ar shabai machzur l'mutav, that by learning Torah, ultimately that will bring you to do the mitzvahs. So he explains in the Kuntra Sachrin, what is the logic, how does he know this from the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't say it clear, but he shows how he knows it from the Rambam, and also what the Rambam's logic is. So he brings from the Rambam, from Hilchos Talmud Torah, that the Rambam writes over there, that Godel Talmud, the greatness of Talmud, is Shemivi L'dei Maisa. When a person learns, ultimately it brings them L'dei Maisa. And then he continues with other Mailas, and he says, therefore this is also the reason why this is the first question a person is asked, not asked, but the first question, the first thing that he's judged on. The first question is, did you do business properly? But it says the first thing a person has his din, his punishment on, is did you set established times for learning Torah? So what's the reasoning for that? Because it's the greatness of Talmud, Shemavdiya de Maisa, therefore this is the first thing he gets punished for not learning Torah or not setting times to learn Torah. And then he continues, the Fichach. Since we have this idea that Godel Talmud, Shemavdiya de Maisa, and that's the first thing you're going to get punished for, therefore, la'oylam yasakam b'tayr mitzvah, shalei l'shma, because m'tayr shalei l'shma ba l'shma. Therefore, meaning, since learning Torah will ultimately bring you to do the mitzvahs, learning Torah brings to do the mitzvahs, therefore you should learn Torah, even shalei l'shma, meaning is, even though you're not doing the mitzvahs, you're learning Torah, but you're not actually fulfilling the mitzvahs, because ultimately you will come to do the mitzvahs. So the question is, wait a second. It seems like the Alter Rebbe is, the Rambam is connecting two things. He says, why are we saying, l'olam yasek on b'teira, shalei l'shma? Why is a person supposed to do Torah shalei l'shma? Meaning is learning. Why is he learning Torah shalei l'shma? So he says, l'fichach he should. L'fichach what? What's the reason you should be learning shalei l'shma? It's because, teich shalei l'shma. Because shalei l'shma, this learning shalei l'shma, will ultimately bring you to learn l'shma, which is to fulfill the mitzvahs. And it seems like the explanation is, based on what he said earlier, since Talmud brings you to the Maisa, since the greatness of learning is that it will cause you to do Maisa, therefore we say you should be icing Torah mitzvahs, because Mateich Shalei L'shma, even if you're learning the Torah Shalei L'shma, not to do fulfill the Maisa, but nonetheless, God Maisa, Shmevi the Maisa, will ultimately bring you to do Maisa. So he says, why does the, so he's, again, so hopefully that's clear, that when the Rama says L'fichach, he's saying L'fichach what we said earlier, since the greatness of learning is that it brings you to the Maisa, therefore we say, you should do it shalei l'shma, because it will bring you to do papaya. Why will it bring you to do, why by learning Torah, shalei l'shma will it bring you to actually fulfill the Torah properly? It's because Torah, learning, brings you day maisa. So it seems like a combination of two things. Since Torah brings you day maisa, so therefore even if it's shalei l'shma, it'll ultimately come l'shma, meaning as you will learn Torah, and it will bring you the day maisa. So the Alter Rebbe asks, in the Kuntros Achron, l'chayra, this idea of la'olam yasek on b'tayra mitzvahs is not just by Torah, but it's really by everything, even by a regular mitzvah. Even by a regular mitzvah, we say, La'olam yasek on the Torah mitzvah shalei lashma. By mitzvahs, though, we don't have this idea that the mitzvah will bring you to do it, the mitzvah properly. No, that's by Torah. Saying Torah will bring you to do the ma'isa. So why is the Rambam connecting the two? Saying, why do we say by Torah you should, it's because Godol ma'isa, Godol tamash mevidi ma'isa. Even without this idea of Godol tamash mevidi ma'isa, we say this idea. How do we know that? Because even by a regular mitzvah, we don't have this concept of Godol tamash mevidi ma'isa. Nonetheless, we still say that you should be oisik in mitzvahs. It seems like a very strong question. Why is the Rambam connecting the two? Even without Gadol Tamash Shadin and Maisa, we still say, So therefore, the Alter Rebbe wants to say that the Rambam is telling us that the main idea of La'olam Yasek is not to teach us anything about mitzvahs. It's not to teach us about mitzvahs. When we say the reasoning, at least. So La'olam Yasek Adam Torah Mitzvahs, yes, the person should be Isaac and Torah Mitzvahs Shalei Lishma. But the reasoning that the Maamar Chazal finishes off with, that Mateisha Lailishma Balishma, you don't need that reason for mitzvahs. You only need that mitzvah, that reason for learning Torah. Why? He says, because by mitzvahs, the main thing is the maisa, not the machshava. Since the main thing is machshava, and as he said, he even brings the quotes in Alter Rebbe from a Maimer, where, because mitzvahs ain't srichin kavana, mitzvahs don't need kavana. So therefore, regarding mitzvahs, you don't need this reason of Mateich, that eventually will come lishma. No, by mitzvahs, you don't need that. Because just by doing the maisa l'chayr, that would be enough. So when do we need this concept of Mateich Shalei Lishma? That's only by learning Torah. So it can't be, now what are the two types of learning Torah Shalei Lishma? It could be learning Torah Shalei Lishma is that you're learning it for, let's say, to be a rich person. But even then, it's just a kavanah. You're learning Torah, you're doing the Torah properly, but you have the wrong kavanah. So again, mitzvahs ain't sriches kavanah, so it doesn't matter ultimately what the kavanah is. The only type of kavanah that the Rambam must be talking about is that you're learning Torah, but you're not fulfilling what you're learning. If you're learning Torah and you're not fulfilling what you're learning, which that is a problem, as the Rebbe will explain later, but it's a major problem in learning itself, because A, by learning, that's being moisif pesha, you're being moisif sins, because now all your shagig is becoming amazed, and even more than that, the learning itself is problematic, because if you're not learning in order to fulfill, the learning itself is on it. It's not the right level of learning. When you're learning in order to know what to do, you're learning in a much deeper way. But besides for that, that idea that you're not learning it as well, and you're not learning it in a way that it's negei lamaisa, therefore you're not learning it with the right proper depth. More than that, by the learning itself, it brings you to do avers. So therefore, by that type of learning, I would think, okay, so then you can't, then that's a problem. By regular learning to become a rich person, or you're doing mitzvahs, even if it's the wrong kavanah, okay, but you're doing the mitzvah. It's just the mitzvah, which is, it's not bishlemas. You're not doing the proper kavanah, but you're doing the mitzvah b'payel. But over here, by learning Torah, you're called the rasha. Meaning is the learning Torah is an avera. You're learning Torah for the wrong reasons. You're making yourself become a rasha because every time you do an avera, it's considered amazing. So by learning Torah in this situation, you're being over on the passing malachol l'saper chukai. Hashem doesn't want him to learn. So you're being over an avera. So how could you learn in this particular situation? So therefore, the Rambam said that in this situation, you should learn because over here, Gadol Talmud maybe l'day ma'isa. That yes, right now maybe he's learning, won't bring l'day ma'isa, but eventually it will bring l'day ma'isa, and therefore it's permitted for him to learn Torah. So that is how the Alter Rebbe understands the Rambam. So again, so let's just recap what we said. So according to the Rush, this vort of a person should be oisik in Torah mitzvah shalei lishma refers to doing mitzvahs or learning Torah, let's say to become rich. Or to have honor, but learning Torah and you're not fulfilling what you're learning, that's actually usur. So it's not referring to that. So learning Torah and you're not fulfilling what the Torah says, that's usur. It's an avera called the rasha. And we say la'olam yasek, that's only talking about mitzvahs or learning Torah, but for to become rich or for the wrong kavan. But according to the Rambam, learning Torah to become rich or doing mitzvahs, you don't need the reason of the Maamar Chazal. The Maamar Chazal itself, La'olam Yasek on the Torah mitzvahs, okay, that's just telling you the general idea that even if you don't have the Kavanah, you should learn and you should do mitzvahs, fine. But the end of it, the reasoning of it, is not really needed for mitzvahs because ultimately by mitzvahs and for regular Torah study, you're doing the Ikar Inyan. The Ikar Inyan is, Shemitzvah Natsuka Tikna, Yosu Machshava Eino L'Shem Mitzvah. But the mitzvah is done properly. So when do you need this Maamar Chazal, that Mitaych, that's only for learning Torah when it's an avera, meaning is that you're doing it and you're not fulfilling what it says. That even then we're saying, that from the shalei lishma of learning Torah, it will bring l'day lishma, because learning brings l'day maisa. Okay. So based on that, going back in the Panim, so now the Panim seems like it's going according to the Rush. So the answer the Rebbe was giving the Panim sounds like it's going according to the Rush. That he's saying is that even though that even though mitzvahs and learning Torah to become a rich individual is not just like the Rambam says. According to the Rambam, if you're doing a mitzvah just with the wrong kavana, you did the mitzvah properly and you're yotzei yidei chavasa, you're good to go. But according to the Rosh, we're saying that's not good enough. Rather, you need this idea of batrich shalei lishma ba lishma that eventually will come lishma. So it seems like the Rebbe's answer is like this. According to the Shitas of Rosh, it's not enough this that you're just doing the mitzvah, you're learning Torah to become rich. That would not be enough. Because Bapail, you're doing it for the wrong kavana. It's only because Mateh Shalei Lashma Balashma that eventually this will bring Lashma, therefore it's allowed. And therefore Rabbi Abba assumed when Rabbi Yossi came and asked him the Farish for money, he realized that he will never come to do Lashma, and therefore his learning Torah and all the mitzvahs that he was doing would be usher. He wouldn't be allowed to learn Torah, the mitzvahs didn't have any value. That was the assumption. But according to the Rambam, this answer would not work. But then the Rabbi brings at the end of R19, he says, from this that the Rambam brings this Chazal with the reasoning in Hilchas Truva Perkei, he brings it a second time, this Maamar Chazal, B'teich Shalei Lishma Baal Lishma. And over there in Hilchas Truva, he's be'ikr talking about the idea of mitzvahs. Because over there he's talking about also learning Torah, but one of the things he mentions, he says, L'fichach, you're allowed to teach children, Ameiratzim Torah, for prizes and rewards, because eventually they'll come to do it Lishma. So he uses this site, he doesn't say it that way. He says, first he mentions the loylem yaskam atar mitzvahs, Torah, shalei lishma. And then he says, lefichach, based on that, this is why, teaching children amaratzim, it could be initially for a reward. So since he mentions it also b'digayetel mitzvahs, it's mashma ktsas, that even b'digayetel mitzvahs srichim tamza, that even regarding mitzvahs, you do need this reason. So even though, according to the Rambam, yes, the Alter Rebbe says clearly the main reason is really the tzad the inyan of Torah, because by Torah, it's literally an avera. Mash enkein by mitzvahs, it's not an avera. It's not an avera to do the mitzvah or learn Torah, become rich. What would be the avera? You're just not doing the mitzvah properly, maybe. So therefore, it should have been permitted anyways. And even more than that, l'chayra, it's not the main part. You don't need the kavana. L'chayra, it's not ma'akif. But from this, the Rambam does bring in at the end, even regarding mitzvahs, and it doesn't just bring it that you're supposed to do mitzvahs for Lo Lishma. He even brings the reason, why does he bring that idea? It's because it's negeya. It's not just, it's like an added encouragement that don't worry, do the mitzvahs, even Shalei Lishma, because eventually they will become Lishma. Meaning is, it's not that you need to have this idea of Matei Shalei Lishma, Baal Lishma. So why does the Rambam bring it? It's just to give you an extra chizuk, to say like another reason why you should be teaching children in this way, because eventually, even though you're teaching them not in the best way, don't worry about it, they will eventually come to do the Shema. So you could learn it that way, that really, it doesn't really matter if it's Shalei Lishma or not, you will be yotzei the mitzvah. Obviously, that's not the preferable way to do Shalei Lishma. Therefore, I might have thought, okay, so by children, when you're training them, since it's not the preferable way, teach them l'chatchila the right way. Teach them that you're doing l'tzarech Hashem. So therefore, he brings this Maamar Chazal to tell us, no, you're allowed to tell the children to do L'tzarech reward. It's not the proper way, so why are you telling them this way, L'chatchila? So therefore, he brings this Chazal, because anyways, Matech Shalei Lishma, Baal Lishma, and that's by Torah, when it's, in an oifen of an avera, then for sure by mitzvahs, where it's just lacking this machshava, which is not ma'akev, for sure, Matech Shalei Lishma, Baal Lishma, you'll eventually... or I shouldn't say for sure because it's for a different reason, but Mateich Shalei Lishma, Baal Lishma would even apply by mitzvahs that eventually if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you'll eventually come to do it for the right reasons, similar to how the Rosh learns it. That's how the Pashis is learning it. But it is Mashma Ktsas that it's not just to give you an added explanation, at least, of why L'chatchila teaching them in this way, but it's also trying to tell you that maybe this is part of the reason why you're allowed to, not just why you should teach it L'chatchila, but this is maybe even trying to say that this is the way how you're supposed to teach them. So he does say it's mashma ksas. So if we're saying according to this mashma ksas, then even in the Panim, maybe we can say it fits according to the Rambam. And that's what the Alter Rebbe means. So the Alter Rebbe means that the main Inyan according to the Rambam is Eina Chinami for the Inyan of Talmud Torah. But there is a ksas, this Maamar Chazal Matei Shalei Lishma also is relevant ksas to the Inyan of mitzvahs, at least to like why you're allowed to teach the children in this way. It's because it will Baal Shema. So maybe that's why Lechatchila allowed to teach him in this way. Okay. Okay, fine. So now let's get to, so the problem we had with this chat is that even if we're going to say that the that you need to have the proper kavana, and it's metayich shalei lishma baal lishma, that's the only reason you're allowed to learn Torah or do mitzvahs without the proper kavana. But and Rav Abba assumed that Rav Yossi is not going to be learning Torah properly, and he never will learn Torah properly. But why would you be chayiv and einash of nisa for that? That seems very strange. Why would you be chayiv nisa? Children can learn. Oh, okay, we won't go back to that. So then he comes to add another very important point. So he tells us that in the idea of learning Torah, we find two different types of schar, which a person calls schar. We're being two of them. One way is that Hashem gives him the schar. He learns Torah in order to get prasana and lahaba, or even a little hazah, Hashem will make him rich or give him kavod. These are from the things that come min hashamayim. It's a nitim min hashamayim. Hashem gives him either reward and lahaba, or even gives him oishiv v'chavod in this world, and you have kavana. That's one way of shalei lishma, which is permitted. Second way is that he takes it himself, likach la'atzmei, that he learns Torah in order that he himself can take his kavod. Meaning is he's learning because he wants to become a rebbe, he wants to be a rosh yeshiva, and then he'll become honor, get honor. Or in order that he can get a job, he's learning Torah, so eventually he can become a teacher or a dayan, and he's able to make parnasa that way. So regarding the first way, when it's min hashamayim, that's of course mutter. I shouldn't say of course, but it is mutter, for the reason matayich shalei lishma baal lishma. But what about the second one, you're taking it yourself? So this, when you're taking it yourself, there's another problem. Besides for the problem of shalei lishma, we have another iser, which is al tas a Torah l'skadlaba, v'lo kardim lachtachba. You know, Allah make the Torah a crown to make, to self-aggrandize yourself, and not a shovel or a hoe to cut with. Dig with, yeah, kardim is a hoe to cut with. So l'chayra, meaning is that you're not allowed to be mavaz at the Torah. By using the Torah for yourself or to make a parnasa, so that's considered a very big zayin, and that would be something which is aser to do. Nonetheless, the halacha is bepeil that you are allowed to. The Altar says that someone who doesn't have Yerushalayim, then he is allowed to learn Torah l'sgadol or to meet l'sparnes, because it's better. She asks b'tayr shalei l'shva. She's battle of Yifresh, he matayich shalei lishma baal lishma. The papaya, even then, we say this idea of matayich shalei lishma baal lishma. But what's interesting is that what do we see over here? We're saying, when is it permitted to learn shalei lishma when you're taking it for yourself? Either it's kavod, or it's in order to make a parnasa. The Alter Rebbe does not mention that it's permitted to do it in order to become rich. Why? What's the difference if you're learning Torah for kavod? Or to make a parnasa, or to become rich. Why? What's the difference over there? So l'chayra, the reasoning is that what's the heter b'chalal to learn it shalei lishma? L'chayra, when you're learning Torah shalei lishma, that's like a bazayin to the Torah. You're not learning it in order to fill Hashem's ratzon or to understand the Torah. You're just doing it for yourself. So the reasoning is, as we said, because matayich shalei lishma baal lishma. So that would apply when it's min hashamayim. You're learning it for the wrong kavana, but eventually it'll be the right kavana. Even if you're learning it in order to get honor, to become a Rosh Hashiva, same thing. Yes, you're learning it for the wrong reason, but ultimately you'll do it for the right reason. But when it comes to taking money to make our panasa, and then bepeil taking our panasa, or to become rich, and bepeil, taking the money to be rich, there's another issue over here. Is that he's bepeil using it as a kardim lach dachba. So it seems like Chazal, when they said that, when you're learning shalei lishma, it's permitted, they only permitted it when it's either something which is min hashamayim, or it's you're making it a Torah l'sgadlba. Because since these things are kavanas, so even though they're wrong kavanas, but ultimately there's no, you're not actually using it as a tool. Because even this, that you're becoming a rebbe or you're becoming a rosh yeshiva, even if you make money that way or you get some honor, it's not directly from the Torah. Rather, it's because you learn Torah, you become a Rebbe, and therefore you're getting honor and everything else. But over here, when he's learning Torah to make money, either as a job, so he can teach the Torah, the Chayr, this is something which is literally making it into a shovel. The Torah itself is being directly used in order to make yourself some money. And that seems to be a very big desire. And therefore, the Chazal never were matured. But, Bapel, and this is a big machlaik, is actually the Rambam, other Rishonim, are you allowed to take a parnasa for teaching Torah? The Rambam says you're not allowed to. But the minig is, and that's the halacha, and the Rambam Alter Rebbe passes this way, that you are allowed to take enough money to make our panasa. And the reason Rebbe brings over here is because a person's mechui lefarnes ishtei b'nei beisai, since you have an obligation to support your family, so therefore Bapel is permissible. You know, looking more to Achrayim, they also bring this idea of Eis Latzis LaHashem HaFeir Teisecha. Since a person has this obligation to support his family, if he's not allowed to take any parnasa for teaching Torah or being a Rebbe, or that how is he going to be able to support his family? He has an obligation to support his family. Therefore, he won't be able to teach. Therefore, there was no option. Therefore, Eis Latzis. Therefore, they permitted it. Meaning is that what they permitted you to use the Torah somewhat as a shovel because there's no other option. So it's Eis Latzis, and so there's no other option because since you're mechuyev, also mefarnes is your family, and you have no other option. So therefore, it was ultimately permitted. But to make yourself rich, obviously that was never included in the Hatter. So therefore, this could be part of the reason why, as we'll get to later. Actually, let's get through it right now. Why Reb Abba? What happened to Reb Abba and Reb Yossi? Reb Abba, when he made his original announcement, whoever wants to become rich, you should come learn Torah. He was talking about that you'll get money from Hashemayim. Hashem will make you rich, even if you're doing the Shalei Lishma, but that's something which is coming from Hashemayim, so it's a Kavanah Shalei Lishma. That's fine. You know, why? Because it'll eventually come Lishma. Again, assuming like we're continuing with the Pirush of the Rush, or the Mashma Ksas of the Rambam, that the reason why it's fine is because ultimately it will become Lishma. But what happened is, Rabbi Yossi came to Rabbi Abba and demanded payment. So then Rabbi Abba assumed what was Rabbi Yossi coming to do? He was coming to Rabbi Abba saying, is it you're supposed to make me rich? You said whoever comes to learn is going to be rich. So Rabbi Yossi assumed that Rabbi Abba is going to arrange some type of wealth for Rabbi Yossi. It wasn't coming from Shemayim. He says, you're supposed to be making me rich. So when he understood that, he's assuming that he's supposed to make me rich, then this wasn't just Torah Lishma Lishma. There was another problem. He was making the Torah a kardim lach dachba. He's making the Torah a kardim. And to make the Torah an actual tool to make money, that's something which is usher. The only heter that we have was for parnasa, and that's why the story is medayik that he didn't have a family. He was a rabbi. He was a bacher, so he didn't need to support his family. So he didn't even have like the lamed schus. Like, why was he asking for richness? He didn't really mean richness. He mean, you know, he needs to be able to support his family. No, he was a bacher. He didn't need to support his family. He just wanted richness for the sake of richness. So that means he was utilizing the Torah literally as a tool, and that is something which is usher. As it says in that Gemara, another it says in Pirkei Avos, it says a mishtamish b'tag cholah, that someone who utilizes the Torah, uses the crown of the Torah for himself, he will be killed, he will die. It says in other Gemaras that someone that that if you're mishtamish in Torah for yourself, you're making it a kardin lachtaba for yourself, you're nekar min ha'olam. The Kal v'chomer from Belshazzar, that he used the keilah in the Beis Hamikdash and he was nekar from the ha'olam. So same thing, someone who utilizes the Torah from himself, he'd be nekar from the ha'olam. So the way how the Rebbe is learning this is that, what is that, and this seems like the halachic too, is that when does that apply? That applies when you're using the Torah as the kardin. Why I'm stressing that is because I was learning the Sikha, I was trying to understand why that doesn't apply to Altasa Torah, a Torah list, Gavlaba, but like Kardim Lachbaba. It seems like making it a Torah, but Pela wasn't an issue because you are allowed to learn in order to have COVID. It doesn't seem like that is an issue to be able to do that. You don't need a special heter in order to learn, in order to become a Rebbe, to have COVID. Masha Inkin, when it says to make a parnasa, we needed a special heter. What was the special heter? It's only, you know, according to them, there is no heter. According to the others, it's only to support your family, if not from Ashiras. So Bapel, it seems like the reasoning is because these other kavanas, they're all included in this idea of it's a kavana. You're learning to become rich. You're learning to have honor. You're learning for Hashem to give you things. These things are just kavanas. You're not actually utilizing the Torah itself as a tool. Masha Inkin over here, when you're literally taking the Torah and directly using it as a tool to teach Torah, and then you make money because of how many hours you teach Torah, that's how much money you're making, or I'm learning Torah and therefore I'm getting paid a lot of money to learn Torah, that would be something which is awesome. That was the problem, and therefore you'd be nekem and ha'ila. It brings R27 for the Ramah. He says, "B'chol zeh tishar ha'inu haspaka kuvah." This, that's the amount that's permitted, is just haspaka kuvah, a set amount which gives you what you need. But you're not allowed to accept gifts. Yikach matana davar chashuv, to take a gift, something which is very chashuv. Ma shehitzer aser, taking a chashuv a matana more than what's allowed, that's actually aser. Because again, if you're taking gifts, and not permitted gifts, but you know, to make you rich, that's something which is also because you're using the Torah as a kardim, and that was never permitted. Okay, so this, now we have the answer, at least to the first question. The first question is, what was Rabbi Abba thinking initially, and why was he thinking that Rabbi Yossi should be chayv misa pen? The answering is, because this that we're saying, that it's allowed to become an usher, that means min hashamayim, or at least lefarnes beisai. But Rabbi Yossi was single, and he was asking Rabbi Abba directly for ashiris. So therefore, he was learning Torah in order to make a kardim lachtechba, and this is the Gemara tells us, in the Darim, I think it's Dr. Zayin, Amud Aleph, that Yurneka min ha'olam kavachayim from Baal Shem Tzvi. So that answers that first question, and also the fifth question, which was why is the Zer stressing that he was a bachur? That answers two of the five questions. But Ibazai, according to this, though, the original question becomes even stronger. One of the original questions is when the Baskel came and said that he's a gavur rabba and therefore he's not chayv misa. That question is now extremely strong, because according to what we're saying now is, since he was making the Torah a kardom, a shovel, a hoe, however when you want to translate it, he was making this the Torah into a kardom, therefore, he's nekem in oilam, he's chayv misa. So he is taka chayv misa. So it wasn't just, not just like as we were asking at the end of Sif Hey, the Lachar, you shouldn't have a Chiv Misa. Because, okay, so it's not Lashma, but why are you going to be Chiv Misa? So the answer is, yes, he is Chiv Misa, according to what we're saying. It's not just that he wasn't learning Lashma, and you know, Matoich Shalil, he didn't have this idea of Matoich, that he was learning for riches, and he would never come Lashma, therefore it's also for him to learn. But the question is, why is he Chiv Misa? But now we have an answer why he's Chiv Misa. He's Chiv Misa because he was doing it, he was making the Torah into a card. So, Ay Bazai, why, by the Baskel saying that eventually he'll be a Gavur Rabba, how is that a heter? How is that a heter? Why does that remove the punishment of death? Why does that permit Rabba to continue to teach him? Right now he's doing something aser. He's making the Torah a kardim, and he's continuing to make a kardim lachdabai. As Rabba himself told him, continue learning, I'll make sure that you're going to be rich, and he makes a whole deal with this rich individual to help Rabbi Yisrael to become a rich man. How could Rabbi Abba do that for him? He's literally helping Rabbi Yosef make this into a shovel, which is aser, and it's an einish of misa. So we'll understand this by understanding the concept of matev shalei lishma balishma a little bit deeper. I'm going to see really three levels. One level is, we've been discussing it till now, is matev shalei lishma. Yes, it's not lishma right now, but eventually it will become lishma. So this is a good haskalah. That why we're permitting you to learn the Torah, do the mitzvah shalei lishma, because eventually you will come to do it lishma. But there's a deeper level that doesn't just mean that eventually. This is actually how, in the Gemara, that's how it seems like it means, because it brings up by Balak. It says that you should always be oisik. Rabbi Yehuda Marav says you should always be oisik shalei lishma, come to take shalei lishma lishma. How do we know this from Balak? That he was makriv 42. He was makriv 42. Karbanis, and therefore his great-great-grandchild from Rus, and ultimately from Shlomo, was makir thousands of Karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. So Matei Shalei Lishma, he brought 42 Shalei Lishma in order to hear the Eden, eventually his grandchild or great-grandchild, or many descendants later, eventually brought thousands of Karbanis, so Matei Shalei Lishma eventually bring Lishma. But there's a deeper idea, is that's not just means La'achar Zma, but rather from the Lashon is Matoich, that within that Shalei Lishma itself is the Lishma. Why? Because by a yid al kopanim, by not by a goy, but by a yid al kopanim, whenever he does a mitzvah, even if it seems like he's doing it for a different reason, the toich, the real reason is that he wants to do what Hashem wants him to do. It's the famous psak din of the Rambam that we know by gittin, you have to want to give the get. You can't be forced to give the get to your wife. What happens if Beis Din says you're chayav to give the get and the person refuses? So it says they beat him until they force him, they hit him and beat him until he agrees and says, I want to give it. So once he says, I want to give it, then he can give it because. So the question is, what do you mean? You're beating him until he says he wants to give it? If you have to beat him to say, I want to give it, that means he doesn't really want to give it. So the answer the Rambam gives is that, no, the truth is he does want to give it. It's just as Yetzer Hara is making him stubborn. So Yetzer Hara is making him angry and stubborn, and therefore he's not listening to what his true Ratzon is. But once you beat the Yetzer Hara, when he says, I want to give it, that's what he truly wanted. He was just, he was too stubborn or whatever it was. And therefore, by beating him, that just removed these obstacles, these psychological obstacles that were holding him back from doing what he truly wants, which is to do the right thing. And therefore, it's considered that he gave the get beratzen. So same thing, when you're learning Torah, that even if it's shalei lishma, the emes, b'toich shalei lishma, the real reason you want to do this is lishma. So that's a deeper reason. This is even a deeper explanation of why b'toich shalei lishma, ba lishma is permitted, not just because in the future, but this itself really also has an aspect of lishma to it. So then the Rebbe asks, okay, so according to this logic, really according to, you know, especially according to the second level, that any type of learning shalei lishma should eventually bring you, should be permitted, I shouldn't say every type, we'll go into more details about that, but if we're saying that the toich of the shalei lishma is really lishma, then you should be able to, always be able to learn Torah. Because even when it's shalei lishma, in any scenario, but the toich is really lishma, A, it'll eventually bring lishma, and more than that, even right now, it's really lishma. But we see that's not true. So there's a famous Tosfos brought in many places that Rebbe quotes where that there's, it seems to be a steer in the Gemara. In one place in the Gemara it says Oilam Yasakam Tar Mitzvah Shalei Lishma, as we just said. But then other places it says that a person learns Tayr Shalei Lishma, it's like a Sama Mabis, it's like a poison to him. Another place it says that if you learn Tayr Shalei Lishma, it's better that you were never created. So it seems like a contradiction. One place it says you should do it Shalei Lishma. Other place says if you learn Tayr Shalei Lishma, it's poison. So Tosfos in different places gives different answers. One answer he gives is, and we'll start with that one, is that it depends. When he's learning because he wants to be honored, so then it's permitted. But if he's learning lekanter, which means to, because he wants to argue and he wants to criticize, and he basically, he's not learning because he wants to know what the Torah says, even, or have to, he's learning because he wants to be able to argue and criticize, wants to be like a Bible critic, something like that. Then he's not learning, then that's asa. So if you're learning to have honor, then it's permitted. But if the only reason you're learning is lekanter, to argue and to criticize, to be a Bible critic, then that's something which would be usher. So the shaila is, why? What's the difference? L'chaira, the toich, just like the toich of I'm learning because I want to have honor, but we're saying what's the real reason he's learning? Because he wants to do what Hashem wants. And it's just mitzad the guf he wants to honor, but mitzad his neshama, he just wants to learn Torah because that's what Hashem wants. So l'chaira, we should say the same thing l'kanter. Mitzad the guf, he just wants to argue and make fun. But mitzad his neshama, he wants to learn Torah because it's the Torah and he wants to do what Hashem wants. So why do we say that lekanter is something which is aser? And by understanding that, we'll also be able to understand why by Ashiris, we'll understand also the story of Rabbi Yossi and learning Torah for Ashiris. Before we get to that, there's also other places where Tosfos says the difference is it's because he's learning, sometimes Tosfos says that he's learning in order to get reward from Hashem. And sometimes he says it's reward to get, a shiris, a covenant from Hashem, or to get be protected from any types of punishments from Hashem. Another time he says it's honor to get honor from people. But then regarding what's the shloi lishma, he gives two answers. One time he gives the answer shloi lekanter. He wants to do it because he wants to fight and argue and make fun. Another place is he says the reasoning is because he's learning, but he's not mekayim what he's learning. So when you're learning and you're not mekayim what you're learning, then that's something which is, then it's like a poison to you. So these are, the Rebbe brings in the R, that's that this, the Sefer Nehoyer, the Araisa wants to say that really it's all one answer. It's all one answer. That sometimes he's just, the Tosfos writes it bekitzer. Sometimes he writes lekanter, sometimes he writes, he's learning but he's not mekayim, but he really means both. He means the real answer is he's learning but he's not being mekayim. So if you're not planning on being mekayim, why are you learning the Torah? So therefore the Tosfos sometimes will tell you, oh, the reason why he's learning, even if he's not planning on fulfilling it, because he just wants to be a Bible critic, he wants to make fun, he wants to argue. That's how the Nehoyer de Araisa wants to learn it, that it's really all one answer. The real answer is he's learning but he's not being mekayim. And lekanter is just like, okay, so why is he learning if he's learning but he's not fulfilling the Torah and he doesn't do it for schar and he's not doing it for honor, then why is he learning? So he says, oh, it's lekanter. That's how Nehoyer de Araisa wants to learn it. But the Rebbe says, from stimus lashon teisa bekam mekayis lechoy le mashpekein, rather it's mashma that it's two totally different answers. Nehoyer de Araisa brings a proof that one place teisa actually brings both of them together. He says, It's the Kantor, and he's learning Schley Lasis. Therefore, he wants to show that's like a proof that it's like all those different places. It's really a combination of these two answers. But the Rebbe doesn't learn that way because the Mashmoy said that all these other places where he only brings one or the other, it's Mashmoy that each one is a different reason. Okay, so Ibazoi, well, and why is that relevant? Because I'll tell you in a second. Because if you're going to say that it's all one answer, and the main answer is because he's learning and he's not fulfilling what he's learning, then we wouldn't have this question. Our question is, if everything's Matei Shulei Lishma Balishma, then just like when you're learning Amanas to get covered is permitted, so same thing, if you're learning Amanas, Lakanta should also be permitted because the Teich of it is that you really just want to do what Hashem wants. That's our question. But let's say the real reason is that you're learning, but you're not being Mekayim what you're learning. So Lachaira, you can ask the same question. Even though I'm learning Torah, and I'm learning Torah, and I'm not planning on doing what the Torah says, that's okay. Mateich Shalei Lashma, I'm learning it, you know, who knows what the reasoning is, but I'm learning it, and I'm not fulfilling it. But ultimately, if I'm learning Torah, Mateich Shalei Lashma, I'm not learning it Lashma to fulfill what the Torah says. No, I'm not learning Lashma to do what Hashem wants or to fulfill what the Torah says. I'm learning it for whatever my own personal reasons. But that will eventually bring Lashma, no? He says over there, it could be different. Because over there, it's actually lacking in his learning Torah. Because tachlis chachma tshuva mais tevin, the purpose of the chachma is tshuva mais tevin. Therefore, when a person is learning but he's not doing, it's not just he's missing in the kavana, that he doesn't have the right kavana in the learning, that he's learning lakantar, learning this. When he's not doing what he's learning, it's actually there's a problem with the learning itself. And the Rebbe writes this in the etzem parentheses tachlis and the parentheses halimud. He says in the etzem limud, or with the parentheses you read it in the etzem tachlis halimud, that there's something lacking in the etzem tachlis halimud. The learning itself, there's something missing in. So the Rebbe puts the word tachlis in parentheses. So lachayr, you can read this in two ways. Either there's a problem in the etzem limud, there's a problem in the essential learning. When you're learning Torah, but you're not planning actually fulfilling the Torah, you're probably not going to learn this Torah properly. Haraya, you could just look at all the universities that study Talmud and study all the Judaic studies where they have no intention of fulfilling what the Torah says, and they learn it completely wrong. So, v'harai, when you're learning Torah with not the purpose of actually fulfilling what the Torah says, because fulfilling the Torah says means that you recognize it's the will of Hashem, and it's the wisdom of Hashem, and therefore this is something which is Hashem's word, and something which is relevant, and something which is the truest wisdom, and something which is pertinent and negate to us. So if you don't learn it with that kavana, then ultimately you're going to learn it wrong, and the way how you explain it is going to be completely off. You're going to learn the exact opposite of what the Torah wants, as we see the first beyond an hour days. Then the Rebbe says also puts in the parentheses in the tachlis alimud, is because ultimately what's the tachlis of learning Torah? Tachlis is to fulfill what the Torah mitzvah, to do what the Torah says, which is to fulfill the mitzvahs. So if you're learning Torah and you're not fulfilling what it says, then as we explained earlier, malacha l'saper chukai, Hashem says, why are you speaking about my chukim? It's the greatest zilzal of the Torah is that you're learning what Hashem wants, and then you're befarish not doing what it says. There's no greater way of saying that the Torah is not intelligent, and the Torah is not smart, and the Torah is not holy, and the Torah is not productive, than by knowing what it says and not doing what it says. That's the greatest way of saying, yeah, I learned it, but it's pretty stupid, so I'm not gonna, you know, chas v'shalom, I'm not gonna fulfill what it says. Therefore, we're saying, and even more than that, we said that the person who learns and he doesn't fulfill, his shagagais becomes a dainis. You know what Hashem wants, and you still don't do it. So that makes it a bear. You prefer not doing what Hashem wants, even though he knows what you want. Therefore, I could think. So even though, so why is it that if you're learning and you're not fulfilling, we'll still say, don't learn. We don't say, oh, look, don't learn and don't fulfill, but eventually you'll come to fulfill what Hashem wants. Again, this is according to the Shitas Arash. It's because in this situation, A, he's doing an avera when he's learning, because you're making all the mitzvahs that you're missing and all the averas that you're doing all becomes a dainus. Even if eventually you'll do what Hashem wants, and maybe you'll start, you know, 30 years from now you'll start doing the Torah and mitzvahs, but for those 30 years you're doing averas b'mezid, and that's something which is really bad. And of course the great zilzal of the Torah that you know what it says and you do the opposite. And the second of all is that you're learning the Torah improperly. You're learning the Torah wrong. What greater, again, another great disgrace of the Torah, that you could read the Torah and learn it and translate it the opposite of what Hashem wants. Therefore, I can think over there, yes, Mateich Shalei Lashma, how can I say Mateich Shalei Lashma Baal Lashma? Because it's not just about the Kavan, it's about the learning. The learning itself is wrong. You're giving the wrong pshat in what's going on, and you're doing Maisim, which are the opposite of what the Torah wants. So by learning, you're causing you're causing averus to happen. So therefore, yes, the kavana wouldn't be, you know, maybe the kavana wouldn't have been an issue. But over here, it's much worse than just your kavana is wrong. Your actions are basically being wrong, and your actions become worse. Your actions now become zedoinus and averus after you've learned the Torah. Therefore, it's much worse. So therefore, according to this second answer of Taisus, the Rebbe doesn't have a problem. And according to Na'ar, the Raisa, that says it's really all that, you know, all the Taisus really means this answer, then there wouldn't be a Shaila. But according to the Stimus Lashon of Taisus, Bekam Mukhemis, that this idea of Lekanter is enough of a reason why you should not learn Lekanter, even though Lechai Matech Shalei Lashma Balashma. So the Shaila is why not? So you learn Lekanter, but eventually you'll come to learn Torah Lashma. Because again, this person, the Lekanter, doesn't say that he's not Mekayim. We're assuming that he is fulfilling what the Torah wants. So he is doing what the Torah wants. But still, when he's learning, he's not really learning for the right reason. He's just learning more to make fun, etc. So the beer in this, there's a third depth in the idea of Matei Shalei Lashma Ba'al Lashma. The third level of depth is that it's not that you're learning that within the Shalei Lashma itself, there's Lashma. Meaning within the Kavana, Shalei Lashma, there's Lashma. It's not just that within the Yid, that the Yid who's doing Torah Shalei Lashma, there's a Kavana of Lashma, that within the Yid there's a Lashma, that he really wants, inside his Neshama, he wants to do it. We're saying even inside the Guf, in the Shalei Lashma, which is inside the Guf, that he's learning because he wants Kavod, this desire that he wants Kavod, that's also, there's an aspect of Lashma which is in there. What's Pshat? So it brings this very interesting idea about Torah Mitzvahs, the Schar of Torah Mitzvahs. So of course, we always learn that what's the idea of Schar Torah Mitzvahs? This is just to encourage us. We're physical beings, and if we don't get reward, you know, we're not going to do the Torah Mitzvahs. Big Tzaddik will do Torah Mitzvahs even without reward. For a regular guy, he needs Torah Mitzvahs to encourage him. But there's a much deeper pshat. That the idea of doing Torah Mitzvahs, and which brings Schar, is that the Schar itself is part of your Avodas Hashem. That when you're getting a schar for doing Torah mitzvahs, that is part of the mitzvah itself. It's a chelik of the mitzvah itself. And let me just do a Ara 39 before we get it, because there's two levels of this. He says that we're saying that the reward that Hashem gives us for the mitzvahs, well, the Rebbe explained in other places, the Rambam, that the reward comes from the mitzvah itself. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The schar mitzvah, he ha mitzvah ba'atma. The tagayim schar mitzvah, he ha mitzvah ba'atma. The cause of the mitzvah comes from the mitzvah itself. But the Rosh and the Rambam, that seif ha taiva lava beglola, that the good comes because of the mitzvah itself, that the mitzvah brings the schar. Meaning is it's a natural or spiritually natural type of outcome. That when you do a mitzvah, the natural outcome of doing something good is that you will get reward. That's how Hashem set up the world. That you do a mitzvah, good things happen. So it's not just like a miracle. Oh, you did a mitzvah, Hashem will change how the nature should work. No, when you do a mitzvah, the way how Hashem established the world is that doing mitzvahs brings Hashem's shafer, brings Hashem's bracha into the world, and brings it specifically upon you. So the question is, why does it have to be like a cause and effect, that the mitzvah itself brings the schar? Why can't it just be? It's like a mess. You do what Hashem wants, so He gives you reward. Why do they have to be intrinsically connected? So he explains this on two levels. He explains by, let's say, Amir Aretz, Noshim Mekatanim, the Mechanchen Oysen La'avin Mira, and the reasoning is to G'day L'Kabel Schar. So over there, when the whole purpose is even them, that the whole purpose, not the whole purpose, that the reason why they're serving Hashem is because they want to get Schar. So by them, it has to be a chelik of the mitzvah, is because the shlemus of the ratzon of the mitzvah is that Hashem wants that we should recognize that the mitzvah itself is something good. Whatever level we're at, we should recognize that the mitzvah is something which is good and Hashem is good. So He wants even a child that when he does a mitzvah, it shouldn't be like, oh, this is what Hashem wants and that's why I do it. It should be more than that. He wants him to recognize intellectually and emotionally that a mitzvah is something which is good. Therefore, when he does a mitzvah, naturally a schar comes. When you do something good, you know, you give kibbutz of aim, you naturally get long life. So that teaches the person, or trains the person emotionally, that the mitzvah is essentially something which is good. Therefore, whatever level you're at, you can see how the mitzvah is good. So even if you're a child that can only see physical things, you see even physically how the mitzvah is good. So the good kind of a mitzvah is felt on every level. And the truth is, even someone who serves Hashem, even Ma'ava, and he's only doing the mitzvah, Emes M'teshu Emes, why does he need Schar? For him, getting physical scar doesn't help him at all. It doesn't help him feel the good sky to the mitzvah because he gets physical scar, because he doesn't care about that. The only thing he cares about is emes. So he already recognizes the good sky of Torah mitzvah because it's Hashem's Torah mitzvah. Therefore, automatically it's good. So why does he need to have scar? So and why does that come directly from the mitzvah? The reasoning is because by doing the scar mitzvah is adding in the essential fulfillment or the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. Meaning that when you fulfill the mitzvah and you get a schar, it's felt in the world, not just by yourself. It's felt in the entire world that mitzvah is something which is good. That when you get schar, let's say if someone who learns Torah and people honor someone that learns Torah, or people who learn Torah do mitzvahs are rich, or exalted, and firm yidin are respected. When a firm yid is respected, it's not just a shot, oh, he got a reward. No, that means the Torah is being respected. People look at him and say, look, there's a firm yid. He's an honorable person, and he's rich. So they recognize, like, ah, the Torah is so smart of the yidin. The yidin learned the Talmud. That's what makes them so smart. They're able to see how the Torah mitzvah is something godly, and something which is important, something which makes them successful. So in other words, the reason why, even by a tzaddik, why the schar of the mitzvah is important to the mitzvah is because the whole reason why the tzaddik does a mitzvah is because he wants to follow Hashem's ways. And the schar is part of that, is that the following of Hashem's ways is not just felt within himself, but it's felt in the whole world. That everybody who's watching the tzaddik, it's not that you're just a tzaddik and peltz, that you're doing Torah mitzvahs and you're happy with that. But you're doing Torah mitzvahs and that has an effect on the world around you. That people see you, they see you do Torah mitzvahs, and that brings honor, kavod l'shamayim, brings kavod to Hashem. Whoever brings this is actually also the word by Avram Avinu. It says, by Avram, by Lech Lecha, he says, the God Lishmacha, go to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will make you great. But why would Avram care about that? As we asked in the beginning of the Sikha, Avram didn't care about reward. He actually says, Anoichi offer ve'efer. But the answer is because by Avram, God Lishmacha never meant for him that Avram's name is going to be great. Avram didn't care about that. God Lishmacha was really the Shem Hashem. What does Avram mean? Avram is the symbol of serving Hashem, monotheism. He's a symbol of Judaism. The idea of self-sacrifice for Hashem. So God Lishmacha, what does it mean? Avram's name becomes great, that everybody knows about the Abrahamic religions. It means they know about Hashem, and they know about the greatness of Hashem. So God Lishmacha means that since Avram is totally bottled, his whole life was Hashem, God Lishmacha means the godless of Shem Shemayim. So similarly, but every time where there's a schar, part of the mitzvah is that you're making, it's not that you're just making Hashem great within yourself or within that action you're doing, but it's felt in the entire world, the greatness of Hashem. Therefore, reward is part of it. So therefore, going back to a person that's doing Torah mitzvah, shalei lishma, wants to become rich. So I'm doing Torah mitzvah because I want Hashem to make me rich. That's mitzvah the body. But we're saying even mitzvah the body, this said he wanted to become rich. Why is that? The real reason is, it's not because you want the physical pleasure. The real deeper reason is, because you want people to respect the Torah. And you know that by having wealth, having kavod, it's not just you being respected. It's you as a yid that's being respected. You as a yid that does Torah mitzvahs is being respected. That's the pnimius dicker reason. So mitzvah the guf, it's just I like being respected. But the pnimius is, it's not just you want to be respected. You want your true identity to be respected. Meaning is this that you're a yid, this that you're a Torah, ben Torah mitzvahs. You want that to be respected. So therefore, the toich, we're saying the toich of the shalei lishma, that you want to have honor and any long life, this is all really about giving respect to the Torah. And he says, this is all derech l'pirush of Baal Shem Tov. It says, re'evim gam smeim, nafshim behem tisatav, that they're thirsty and hungry, and their nefesh is swooning within them. So the Baal Shem Tov asks, if they're hungry and thirsty, what does that have to do with their nefesh? That has to do with their body. Their nefesh is swooning. Their body is swooning. He says this because this that the body really wants to have food and drink is not just because of the body. It's really the neshama wants it. The neshama recognizes that it's in this world for a reason, and the food and drink that it's eating is connected to it. That the food and drink it's eating, he has an obligation to mevar that food and drink, to elevate the food and drink, and ultimately do Torah mitzvahs with it. So when he sees food, it's not just the body wants it. The nefesh wants that food too. And the only difference is the body wants it for itself, while the nefesh wants it in order to serve Hashem, or to mevar that food and drink. So therefore, also by davening on Rosh Hashanah, it says, why are you davening for life? You're davening for parnasa. Isn't that very selfish on Rosh Hashanah? That's what you're asking for. It's like, no, because the true reason why you're asking for these things, the ultimate reason, is because the nefesh wants it. So even this, that the body wants it, the reason why the body wants it is because subconsciously the neshama wants it. So it's interesting. So it's not just, or maybe not at all. It's not that the body naturally wants these things and therefore you want it. This that the body maybe naturally wants it is really just an extension of the nefesh. The nefesh wants it. And therefore that changes the body, that the body itself will also want to have this desire. And that explains why a person has a kavanah shalei lishma, that Hashem will give him riches, or Hashem will make him healthy, a long life, or give him kavod, or even if he himself wants the kavod. What's the real reason he wants the kavod? By learning Torah mitzvahs. I want to learn Torah mitzvahs to have kavod. It's all only because I want the Torah to have kavod. That's the real reason. Okay, so what about Rav Abba? So l'chayr, when we get to Rav Abba, maybe this is why he wanted to be rich. He wanted to be rich because he wanted those who learn, because he learned Torah, and he wanted, you know, that's the really maybe the penimis kavanah also by Rav Abba. Why can't we say the same thing by him? He wanted to be rich because that's the teich over there was, he wanted people to respect people who learn Torah, and by being rich, that adds respect to those who are learning the Torah. People are able to see the good kite of Torah, that those who learn have wealth. But we can't answer that directly. Because the problem is, as we said earlier, that you're not allowed to make the Torah a kardin lachtach bay. Allah tells us you're not allowed to make it a shtovel. We have a special hatter, lesparnis, but to make it into a kardin, that's something which is aser. So even if we're going to say the kavana is a good kavana, the pnimius, the kavana is a good kavana, fine. So the pnimius, you'd have a good kavana. But you're not allowed to do an avera with a avera lishma. I'm doing this avera for, you know, because ultimately there's a good kavana. Even the truth is, even some places in Chassidus explains that after the fact, like an avera which is done, there is an aspect over there that, wanting to be able to do tshuva. So you're not allowed to do an avera. But once an avera is done, this that you're in that particular situation, since everything is bashkacha pratis, this is for the capability to do tshuva, which brings you to a much higher level. Even when you're separated from Hashem, even then you have the capability to be connected, or be'etzim, even then you're connected. But the point is, you're not allowed to do an avera, say, oh, I want to do an avera so I can do tshuva, and a malkin shabbal tshuva, I'm them. You know, if that's my real kavanah, it's because I want to be a bal tshuva, so it's a much higher. Then you're not allowed to do that. Obviously not. It's an avera. So that's not going to help over here. But, oh, I want to make a kardin lachtachba because ultimately I want to give honor to the Torah. That's something which is aser, even if your kavanah is correct. But that would be something which is aser. So the Rebbe brings in over here, there's actually an halacha. Halacha tells us that when there's a gadol hador, that an individual that rabbin tzrichin lai, em dina gadol b'chachm k'mayu, the tzibur armet suvan l'farnasa b'chaved, v'afilu la'asha, even to make him rich, like we see by the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol had to be greater and richer than all of his brethren. And the pashtus, the reasoning for that is that by when you see the Gadol Hador having wealth, A, that makes you listen to him. People respect individuals like that. Someone who's rich and honorable, that gives you the incentive, or subconsciously, people listen to those who are successful. And B, even more importantly, by having the Gadol Hador, someone who's wealthy and honored, that brings honor to the Torah. As we said by Avraham Avinu, that the only people, the truly great people, are able to have richness and kavod, because it's not their kavod and richness. It's really the kavod of Hashem. So when you're looking at the Gadol Hador, you're not looking, oh, he's rich and he has money. No, what we look at it is that Hashem, those who follow the ways of Hashem, are rich and have wealth. Just like by Avraham, his name is great. Avraham is so respected, because he's really he's a representative of Hashem. Same thing by the Gadol Hador, he's a representative of Hashem, so that makes Kavod Shemayim great. So by Rabbi Yossi, this was what the Baas Kol was saying. Rav Abba came and said, okay, this guy's making the Kardim Lachtachba. Kardim Lachtachba, it doesn't matter what your Kavanah is. You have a Kavanah Lishma, even if you want to say Mateish Shalei Lishma Ba Lishma, but that doesn't help over here, because it's a Kardim Lachtachba. And we don't have a Heter for Ashiris. Therefore, he wants to punish him. Punishment of Misa. Then Abascal comes out and says, Gavir Rabba, he's going to be a great person. Meaning is right now, at this point in time, he has the potential to be a great person. Therefore, this Shalai Lishma that he has is not the Pshat that eventually, is not the Pshat, sorry. So the Vort over here, this Shalai Lishma that he wanted to be an usher, is not just that he wanted to be rich for selfish reasons, that it's coming mitzad the body. He wanted to be rich because that was his true potential. He was a Gadol Hador. his neshama felt that he was a representative of Hashem. So the neshama wants it because the neshama was the potential of the Gadol Hadar. The neshama is on the level of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, the idea of the shiris that would come with it is something which is just a reflection of the covet of Hashem. That's why he wanted it. And now we can understand the difference between when it's lekanter, which we're saying that it's prohibited, and a shiris, where it's usually prohibited. Mashin came by Rabbi Yesi, we're saying that it was, the Baskol says it was okay. When it's lekanter, what positive lishma is there by the lekanter? You're doing it lekanter, so what's the matay shle lishma? Maybe inside the yid, there's an aspect of lishma, because every yid really wants to do what Hashem wants, but within that kavana itself, this kavana, what you want to do lekanter, that's something which is bad. There's no lishma in it. It's on the contrary. You're just trying to make fun of the Torah. The contrary, there is no lishma aspect to it. Masha'inkin, when you're learning because you want to have kavod or you want to have a shiris, there is a lishma aspect to it. The lishma aspect is that it's not for your kavod, it's for the kavod of Hashem, and you want the shiris so people see that those who learn Torah are wealthy. But when you're criticizing and making fun, what do you want people to see? You want people to see that you should make fun of the Torah. The kavan is completely ra. There is no lishma in that particular kavana, therefore it's aser. So the kavana of lekanter is completely ra, and therefore we don't have this idea of mateich shalei lishma ba lishma, and therefore it would be aser. Definitely according to the Rush. According to the Rama, it would be interesting, as we said earlier, not so clear because he doesn't speak about, I don't think he speaks about clearly about lekanter, but assuming that the Rambam says that even when you're doing it, you're allowed to do it because eventually maybe lidei maisa, that's even when you're learning and you're not mimim kaim, it's permitted because eventually it will come lishma, then even maybe you can say the same thing by lekanter, that even if you're doing lekanter, but ultimately mateich shalei lishma, it will be Yavid Lashma. Rebbe brings in Ha'ara, I think 48, he brings where there's nothing, according to the Rush, there's nothing good about that. And as we it's just he's been mazals in the Torah, there's nothing good about that. Therefore, it wouldn't be permitted for him to learn. We see, according to the Day of Beis, the Rambam, that we do say Meteich Shlei Shema Baal Shema Yish Lefarav B'Mashal Zbar B'Kulit Tzichas Chelokein Chelok Yudchas Inyan Tekanta Tshuva, that there is this idea of Tshuva, that there's such a deep level of Tshuva, is that why is it that a person that when a person does an Avera, he's still connected to Hashem and he's able to reveal his deep connection to Hashem. That even when you did an Avera, you're able to be connected to Hashem. So Abizai, you can say that even when it's this type of Shloi Lishma, where everything is negative, even when everything is negative, you're still connected to Hashem. So therefore, it is revealing that within that Shloi Lishma, there is this aspect of the Shema. That even the Shloi Lishma, which al Pisechal is completely the Shloi Lishma, but Bepnimius, on love which is the Gansen Hecher, then Seichel, we're saying is that what's the Neshama trying to show? The Neshama is trying to show is that even on this level, you can be connected to Hashem. So there is this aspect over there, but that's, of course, a very deep concept, which needs a lot of Hezbar, which you have to look in those two sources, and I guess eventually we'll get there, and we'll understand it better. Okay, so going back to Rabbi Yossi, so also by Rabbi Yossi, within his Kavanah to become an usher, There was the teich. The teich was that he wanted to bring honor to Hashem, that he was the Gadol Hador, and that by being a Gadol Hador, by having the Ashiris and having the Kavod, that brings ultimately honor to Hashem. And so that answers, we answered, I believe, almost all the questions so far. Our question was, why did Rav Abba want to punish him initially? Why did the Baskel help by saying him that he was a Gavur Rabba? And also we answered why he was a Bachar. So the explanation is that initially Rav Abba thought that he was learning because he wanted to become rich min hashamayim, so it was just a bad kavana. Well, that's okay, because teich shalei lishma, within that teich of shalei lishma, ultimately there really is the lishma there, therefore he's amos learning for the right reason. But when he came and says, I want a shiris from you, so then he understood, oh, you're making an akardim. Akardim is something which is aser. And that for is also negiah that he was a bacher, he was a rabbi, so he had no one that he had to be mefarnes. So what was the final answer that Baskel comes out and says that he's going to be a gavur rabba? Why did that answer anything? If he's making a kardim, that should be aser. So the answering is because that mitoich shalei lishma ba lishma is permissible. It's only because within the kavana itself, there's an aspect of lishma.
So by being an usher, there is also this aspect of Lishma, which is he wants to add honor to Hashem. But usually that wouldn't work. Because again, you're making a kardim. So therefore you're not allowed to do that. And of course, so therefore it would be prohibited. So we're saying is that by Rabbi Yossi, though, he was such a great person, he was a gavur rabbi, he was such a great person, that even when he had wealth and ashiras, he would use that for avodas Hashem. So therefore, by a regular person, he can't say, oh, the ashiras, my neshama wants it. Because the neshama recognizes it's not on that level to be able to transform the ashiras to avodas Hashem. Now, she'inkin, Rabbi Yossi b'pnimis was on that level. Therefore, his neshama wanted him to mevara that ashiras, because he realized it was on the level to be able to do that. And therefore, ultimately, would add in kavod Hashem. Therefore, by Rabbi Yossi, it was something which was relevant. But now we still need to know, why did they call him Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi? And why did he return the keys to the paz? L'chayr, that wouldn't help. So the answering is, for these two questions, is that Rabbi Yossi, once he recognized, he recognized the greatness of the Torah, he wanted everybody to know the greatness of the Torah. So if he would have kept the gold, that shows, at least even like B'diavid, it shows afterward the fact, that physical gold has some value, has some erech, to the learning of Torah. Therefore, he didn't want to keep it. He didn't want to keep it. He didn't want to show that there's any type of value of gold relative to the greatness of the Torah. But when he returned it, it wasn't to take away the schar of this balabas. When the balabas made the deal, that became his schar, and it cannot be taken away. That never was Rabbi Yossi's kavana. That cannot be taken away. So in Achinami, the balabas received that money. So he received the reward. Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi returns it only because he wants to show everybody else that the gold has no value to the quality of Tyra. And that's also why he's called Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi, my gold, for two reasons. A, it shows that even when it became his gold, it was Taka, his gold. It was a real sale. But even then he returned it. But even on a deeper level, his name was ben Pazi, similar to when you say someone's a ben Chayim, that he's a free person. This is who his Metzias is. Ben Chayim means not just he's a son of someone free. That means ben Chayim means this is his Metzias, someone who is free. So ben Pazi means that he is an individual that has control of gold. That a regular individual, when he has richness, he's not able to utilize it for the sake of Hashem. But Rabbi Yossi was such a great individual, when he had gold, it would be completely utilized for the sake of Hashem. Therefore, his ben Pazi, he was the one that had control. He was a gavur rabba that had control. He was the master over the gold. But the Rebbe does point out in R51, it's Oitzar Chiyin, though, why Rabbi Abba told this usher, I will give you a chuluk yatir ba'rais, I'm going to give you an extra portion, l'chayra. According to our explanation, his portion was never taken away from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi gave him the portion, that was done. The reason why he gave it back was because he wanted to show people that the gold that he took had no value toward the Torah. So why was Rabbi Abba giving him his portion, or giving him a portion? So he gives two answers. He says, Ulei kavana mekan l'ha, means from now and onwards. Now that this relationship with Rabbi Yossi is finished, I will make you a deal. You give the gold and silver to poor people and you will get a portion in the Torah. I will give you a chelik in the Torah, or possibly means chuluk yatir, I'll give you an extra portion. So either means v'kan l'haba, you'll get a portion, meaning not for the past, v'kan l'haba, you get a portion, or he says, I'm going to just give you an extra portion, but take the gold back, give it to poor people, okay, either way. So that's, but the Rebbe does say Eitzar here. So al pizeh, we could also go back to our original question by Avraham Avinu, why he was so scared, and Hashem says, did Avraham Avinu care about reward? So the answer is, of course not. He wasn't worried about the reward for himself. He was worried about the Avodas Hashem. And as we said, part of the Avodas Hashem is, the reward is part of the Avodas Hashem. That when you're doing the Torah mitzvahs, by doing the Torah mitzvahs, it comes with a schar. And the purpose of giving that schar is to show how Torah mitzvahs is something which is good. Not just you're doing it because it's emes, b'nei shu emes, but part of that is also that everybody should see that Hashem is good on every single level. That Hashem is good. So by doing Torah mitzvahs, that's making this world a dir b'tach tainim. It's making this world a place that recognizes the gutzkeit of Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, it was important to Avraham that there would be schar chahar b'moed, and that's why Hashem tells him schar chahar b'moed, is that other people will also see the greatness of Torah mitzvahs. And that's ultimately what Avraham wanted, not for himself, but for Hashem. And therefore, he says, on the contrary, because of the greatness of Avraham, therefore, schar chahar b'moed, because only people like Avraham, like Rabbi Yossi, they're the ones that can have a great schar. And the great schar is not for their own ego, but rather it's just to reveal the greatness of Hashem. maybe you can ask just a klutz kasha that according, if Rabbi Yossi's epidemius, he wanted the kisa de paza because ultimately is because he wanted to reveal the greatness of Hashem, that those who learn Torah mitzvahs, those who are gavra rabba, those who have become a gadol hador, get riches. Why did he return it? Bepnimis's kavana was a good kavana. So again, bepashtus is because the reason bepeil why he took the gold wasn't for that reason. So he wanted to show that I'm learning Torah for gold. Therefore, it seems like gold is more important than Torah because that's what I'm making it a kardim lachtachba. So he made it into this kardim. So therefore, he returns. He doesn't want to have anything to do with that. And ultimately, but why did he even have such an inclination? The reason why he had such an inclination, was because of his neshama. But he realizes that ultimately, when Hashem wants that to happen, it'll happen. He doesn't need to do it directly. I'm going to use the Torah to get the money. Rather, he wants to have it the proper way. He's going to learn Torah for the proper reasons. And if Hashem wants that honor, that shiras and covet to happen, then that, of course, will happen. But he needed to make that be known, that the Torah, that when he's learning Torah, it's not for the sake of the gold, but ultimately you're learning the Torah, and then the gold is just like an outcome from it. That those who learn Torah, which is the greatest thing, everything good comes from it. But they're just tight size. There's things that come from the Torah.